Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. Welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us today. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here, and I'm so glad that y'all are inside the building for church today. Welcome our friends who are also joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website. We're glad that you are virtually inside of our church here for worship this morning. And so as we've come to worship our risen Savior today, you're invited to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. And so we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out and let us know that you are here with us in church today. You can also jot down prayer concerns that you have in your life and praises as well. And you, after you fill it out, you can drop it in the basket that our ushers will pass later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us virtually, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with us from wherever you find yourself today. On the back side of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church. You'll see that we're beginning a new adult Sunday school class during the Sunday school hour of 9:30 to 10:30. It's going to be starting Sunday, January 21st. And if you'd like to be a part of this, you can talk to Pastor Brooke after church today. The subject is going to be on grace, reading through the book of Hebrews. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, reach out to us here soon and we'll have a space for you. Next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to be taking down the Christmas decorations, undecorating our church. And so if you'd like to come lend a hand for that, you can come to the church here at 9 o'clock on Saturday. And many hands make light work as we've enjoyed our Christmas decorations all season long. And we'll be taking them down next Saturday. Next Sunday, we're going to be starting a new sermon series that we're very excited about called The Gospel According to Disney. Each and every week of the series, the 5 weeks throughout the series, we're going to be talking about a different Disney movie and then finding a biblical lesson about that. And so it should be a great time together, and we're looking forward to this. And so you have homework to do between now and next Sunday. Your task, should you accept it, is between now and Sunday to watch the movie Elemental that came out a couple years ago. That's going to be the featured film next week in my sermon, and so you can be watching Elemental between now and next Sunday. We'll also have online in our church newsletter the whole list of all the movies that we're going to be talking about in our sermons. And so I know you're all scholar students, and you're going to want to do all your homework kind of leading up to worship. And so we'll have those publicized here pretty soon. But it would be a great time to kick that off next Sunday morning.
Join us in worship.
For the day, and for the light, and for the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped down in the time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts.
Let every knee bow down.
that one more time.
Well, you and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe. You and I will see who we were meant to be.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day you have given to us. We are blessed to start a new year with our church family and your house. Allow the words we hear today guide us through our week. Allow us to become closer to you and to be a guide for those around us who are lost. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the First Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They shall gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. May God bless this reading of God's holy word. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a children's message with Pastor Annika.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Good morning. How are you all doing? That's great. I figured you'd be a little bit more excited with the snow coming. No?
Yeah.
Yeah? Maybe? Hoping for a snow day?
Yeah.
Yeah? Maybe? Okay, I guess not too excited about snow. I know Pastor Dave and I are super excited about snow. Yeah. Anybody else excited about the snow? Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's 50-50. All right, today we're going to talk about the story of the three wise kings. And I'm only going to read bits and pieces of this to you. So if you want to hear the full story, you can check out the book in our church library in room 7.
Well, let's see how this starts. Long ago in the east, in the lands, there lived three kings. These wise men studied the stars. Each night they looked at the sky and wrote down where the stars were, where they had come from, and where they were going. One night, a star they had never seen before appeared in the sky. Each of the kings consulted his books and found that a new star was the sign that a great king will be born. So each king, not knowing the others, set out to follow the star, to find the king, the child king, and to honor him. Let us ask the place of King Herod, one of them said. Surely Herod would know the birth of another great king. Where is he that's been born to be the king of the Jews? They asked. We have seen his star in the east, and they have come to honor him. Does the king look very happy? No, he doesn't, does he? Herod sent the three kings. Go to Bethlehem and find all about the child king, he said. And when you have found him, come back and tell me, so I may worship him too. The three wise kings set out for Bethlehem, not knowing that Herod wanted to destroy the newborn baby. That night, as the kings slept, they were warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, for he had wished to destroy the child. So the three kings kept Herod from finding the child and returned to their countries by a different way. So these three wise men found a star and they followed it. Do you know what child king they were going to see? Baby Jesus, that's right. So even though we can't see Jesus, when we look up into the sky, we too can see stars like the three wise kings. So when you're feeling lost or scared or worried, I want you to take a moment and look out your bedroom window or take a step outside, look up at the sky and see the stars. You'll see Jesus smiling back at you. He's right there with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us the night sky and the beautiful stars. Thank you for always being with us, even though we cannot see you. Please guide us and protect us in the week ahead. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know. J-E-S-U-S. Oh, for the Bible tells me so. J-E-S-U-S. And he loves me here, and he loves me there. He loves all of us.
New Year's Day gives us the feeling of a fresh new start. The new year gives us another opportunity to become better stewards of our time. The new year gives us a fresh start with our time and provides us with a fresh look at the way we use our money. Giving generously to God's work can truly help us to have the times of our lives. The ushers will now receive the offering.
For as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. For as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer.
Won't you join me in prayer? O God, from whom all blessings flow, we give you thanks for the blessings you bestow upon us. Accept now these gifts and bless them. We pray that these resources would be used to strengthen your church, not only this congregation, but beyond these walls and into the community. O God, we gather together today, seeking your star to lead us to Christ. We give thanks that we can always seek your guidance. We can always find a way in you. Lead us and any who seek you this day. We give thanks for this new year and pray that we would live our lives in the ways that you call us to. Rather than subscribing to new year, new you gimmicks, may we be an ongoing journey to evolve in our faith and in our relationship with you. May we seek to be people who share more love, who give more generously, who live more faithfully in service to you and your people and your creation. This journey has nothing to do with the new year, and yet we feel pressure all around us to set big goals and big resolutions. Help us to be shaped by you and your ways, your word, rather than the ways of the world. We come this day with confessions on our hearts, some which we freely offer up to you and others that we cling tightly to. We pray that we would find our security and grounding in you and be so assured of your love and grace that we begin to let go and offer up our sins and confessions. We give thanks every day for the forgiveness which is lavished upon us. There is no end to the love and forgiveness you share with us. God of healing and strength, we lift up to you our friends, family members, and church beloveds who are in need of healing today. We lift all those on our prayer list to you. You know the needs of each one intimately, and we pray that your will would be done. And wherever earthly healing will not be accomplished, we pray for acceptance and for the ability to embrace the next steps. We pray that we and any who struggle can find peace in following you, even when life's disappointments have a hold on us. We pray for all who struggle with other kinds of hardships, those in need, those with mental health struggles, those who are challenged with employment, those with family relationship difficulties. We pray for your peace to be upon all who are wrapped up in hard times. We know that you are there for us, and we pray that we would always seek your comfort throughout good times and harder times. We give you thanks for this baby born to us, this Savior given to the world. We give you thanks for the visitors who followed the star and sought him. And we thank you for their boldness shown to protect Jesus. We think of him and we give thanks for him, our Prince of Peace and our Redeemer and Sustainer, as we pray the words that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd the people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the best things about the holiday season is that we all have our own unique and wonderful traditions. Christmas has come and gone, and so we're now making our way into this new year. And so for some of us, we have been celebrating the full 12 days of Christmas, the 5 gold rings, the 7 swans, swimming the whole lot together. And so even though that Christmas morning was a couple of weeks ago, we find ourselves still in the midst of this festive and wonderful season. Maybe for you, your tree is still up and you've left it up all throughout the season. Maybe it'll make it through today. Maybe you'll take it down tomorrow. Shoot, maybe you'll never even take it down all year long because you left it up all year long and you've got flags on it on 4th of July and you've got hearts on it at Valentine's Day. Maybe it lives in perpetuity someplace in your house. But then there are others of us who by this time here and now today, you've long since taken down your Christmas tree. It was still up on Christmas morning. It was lovely and beautiful and all of that. But once the Christmas tree was had, as my grandmother used to say, once the tree was had and the presents were open, it was time to take it down. And so maybe in your family tradition, sometime between Christmas and New Year's, you took it down then. Maybe you gave it a few more days after that. Or maybe you were like some friends of ours, that as soon as the Christmas presents were opened, literally on Christmas Day, they would begin taking down the decorations, like December 25th, 9:30 in the morning. All the decorations would go back down to the basement. Christmas was great, and it was wonderful, but it was time to get back to normal. Wherever you are in this, there is no judgment. We all have our own traditions. But maybe you've noticed here in the church, our tree is still up. All of our trees are still up. The lights and the chrismons, the garland and the ornaments, they're all still here today. And there's a reason behind this. Believe me when I say we did not just like forget. It was like, oh, I was supposed to do something this week, take down the decorations at the church. And like I forgot, like it slipped my mind. It was actually not like that. It's still up because after the 12 days of Christmas with the 7 swans and like the Lord's leaping, after the 12 days comes January 6th. Which is this little church holiday called Epiphany. And so we're celebrating Epiphany Sunday here today. And Epiphany is this day in which church tradition, with a capital T, says the wise men finally reached Jesus. Like they've been traveling for a while, and so on Epiphany, they finally found Jesus for the first time. Now, maybe all season long, you've been like following the story and like keeping your own like a mental tally sheet of everything that we've been going through. We finished up Advent, we've come through Christmas, and now here we are at Epiphany. And so we've been hearing the story through the Bible all season long. It was in the Gospel of Luke that we heard a number of weeks ago that there were the angels came to those shepherds who were watching their flocks by night in the field. They said, go to Bethlehem. You're going to see this child there. And so the shepherds went on their way, and they found the child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn, the Gospel of Luke says. No Holiday Inn, no Comfort Inn, nothing at all. He was born there in a stable. That's where we left Jesus on Christmas Eve. Last Sunday, if you were here in person or maybe you watched online, then you heard Pastor Brooke tell us about that time when Jesus was just a little bit older. And maybe you noted that in like your mental tally sheet. And in that story that we heard last week, Jesus' parents took him to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated, just like families do here in our church whenever newborn babies come into our church family. So it was for Jesus with Mary and Joseph. And in that story, Jesus is still just a child, just a baby, not even walking around the temple yet. And so that's where we have been in the Christmas story so far. And so this week, here today, the story picks up from the Gospel of Matthew. And he says nothing about shepherds there in the field with angels speaking to them. Matthew picks up with the story of the wise men watching the star in the sky. They see the star and they go and they say, "Where is this child to be born who is to be called King of the Jews? We have seen his star rising. We want to go and bow down and worship him and pay him homage." They seek out King Herod, who is the current ruler of the land, who was frightened and did not know what to do about this new king to be born there in their land. Herod got all the chief priests and all those leaders together, and they determined the child was to be born in Bethlehem. And so the wise men go, and they find Jesus, and they were overwhelmed with joy, the Bible says. But this time, he's not in a manger. He's not there with the donkey and the hay and like the dirt and the dust. Maybe you noticed in Matthew 2 today that when the wise men find Jesus, he's in a house. And they kneel down, they worship him, and they offer up their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they arrive, it was like this epiphany, like this aha kind of moment, like this is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so with this, church tradition with like a capital T says that they may not have found Jesus until he was almost 2 years old. Like 2 years after Mary and Joseph found themselves with like no room in the inn and wrapped in bands of cloth and like no crying did he make. 2 years they've been on this journey to now find Jesus today on Epiphany after following the star. And so in my mind, at least, whenever I imagine Epiphany with the wise men coming in with their gifts, I mean, maybe their house looked like your house or all of our houses that have two-year-old kids inside of them. I mean, gone are the days, of course, when Mary and Joseph could just leave the baby Jesus in one place, like leave and go to the kitchen and come back to the room and trust that he would still be sitting in the same place. Like they could leave him sitting in that high chair talking baby gibberish. I mean, if 2 years have passed, whenever the wise men enter the house where Jesus is, they're stepping over cars and trucks, and they're making their way past Squishmallows and Legos and toys and stuffed animals. I mean, maybe like many of our houses that have two-year-olds inside of them, their house is a wreck because there's a toddler in the house. And everything is sticky and everything is gooey and there are handprints on all of the windows. The wise men come into this kind of place, maybe. But they've come on such a long journey that when they arrive, they bow down and worship. It is this wonderful epiphany of a scene at the end of the Christmas story. And it's so wonderful that the Gospel of Matthew writer says that they've been on such a long journey that they go home a different way. The Bible says they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod because we know that Herod has been out for Jesus even before he was born. He'll be out for Jesus even at the end of his life. And so Matthew simply says they go home a different road. I always love that last little line, they went home by a different way. You know, we've been building and building for weeks, and we've lit the Advent candles, and now we've come through Christmas, and now here we are at Epiphany, and we've stopped by the manger with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the sheep and the donkey, and we've come through the 12 days of Christmas, and now with the wise men arriving, it's like a cherry on top of the sundae. It's like putting a bow on the story to tie it all together. And it's this wonderful scene. And for me, of course, the wise men had to go home by a different road. I mean, Herod was out for Jesus, and so they went home a different path. But for me, that last little line is more than just like a notation in their journal about what road they traveled, like they went a different path. It's more than just like, well, I-80 was busy, and so they decided to take 34 out to the west instead of going up to I-80. To me, it means more than just a notation, especially for us here as 1 year has come to an end and we're now a week into this new year that's just starting. You see, it's like this. For decades, the pension fund of our church denomination would give out these little black calendars. They would send them to every single minister in the whole entire church. And these tiny little calendars were like not bigger than a note card, like a 3x5 note card. And these calendars were like big enough to fit in your shirt pocket or like a pants pocket or even like a bag or a purse or something. And so my grandfather was a pastor, and he served the church from the late 1950s until the late 1980s. And so whenever we would visit my grandparents' house, they're in Dallas, Texas, my grandfather would pull out this shoebox that was jam-packed with these little pocket-sized calendars. He called them his little black book, and he kept every single one of them. Like, I'm not exaggerating, like, literally every single year that he was a pastor, from seminary to long into retirement, he had more than 40 years of these calendars in this one shoebox. They were marked up, and they were folded, and they were stained, and I have no idea how he kept track of all of his meetings and his appointments, because these calendars were so small. You need to write with like 1-point font because they were so tiny, and he carried them around everywhere. But looking through these calendars in his shoebox was amazing, because it was literally his life in the church. Board meetings, evangelism calls, pastoral visits, Christmas Eve services, Epiphany Sundays, all the things that we do now in the church together, he started in these little black books back in the 50s. And he had them all, and they were so cool. It was a record of everything he did. Now, I know that you're like me, and that we do most everything in life on some electronic device, on our phone, iPad, tablet, something. And so maybe you remember the time at like the end of December, sometime in your life, going to the store and buying a new planner, buying a new calendar that's going to be your best friend for the next upcoming year. That once you've scoured the racks and you've like looked at all the pictures and the designs, you find the one that's going to be on your person every single day for the next year. And so if you can think back to those days, you remember taking it home and opening it up and seeing that on the pages was written nothing. I mean, there's holidays and there's the months and the days, but the pages are clean. And so with it, gone are the eraser marks and the pen marks and the scratches and the coffee stains. Gone are all those things that kept us up worried and stressed late into the night. Gone are those things that we've planned for and checked through. I mean, now, whenever we keep our planners and our calendars on our phones, it's almost unceremoniously like one year begins and the next one ends and we kind of move on. But when it's written down, it's empty at our disposal. You see, those wise men have been traveling for a long time to see Jesus. It maybe took them 2 years, and now here he was, this toddler, and they saw him, and they were overwhelmed with joy, the Bible says. And they gave him gifts, and when they went home, they did not travel the same way because their life was changed. More than just a notation on the map, more than just a different highway they decided to take, but they realized that once you come into the presence of Jesus Christ, once your life is changed by God's love, you never travel down the same road again. You never see the world with the same eyes ever again. Now we get grace and forgiveness. Now we have a new kind of life to lead. That's what those wise men experienced, and they went home, changed people. You see, on this Epiphany Sunday, at the cusp of this new year, when we've just started a week in and everything else is left blank, Jesus invites us to take a different road this time of year. A narrow road, a different path. And to know that if we want things to change in life, if we keep on doing them over and over and nothing seems to be changing, now is the time to change. To give ourselves over to Jesus Christ again and to deepen our relationship with God's love. Because the good news of the gospel is that once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we never see the world the same way again. We never travel down the same roads and the same path again. Because we have new life in Jesus Christ as new people. Let us pray. Oh, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the epiphany that we receive, the aha moment, knowing that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we are blessed by your grace. We give you thanks, O God, for this new life that we receive and accept here and now today. Help us, O God, to follow you in the road that you have set before us, that even if it may not be the ways of the world, even if your path may be narrow, give us the strength, O God, to follow your will and to know of your peace, to follow your love in all we do. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.